We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Approved. We remember years ago when he tried to sign Ilya Kovalchuk to a massive 12 or 13 year deal or whatnot, and it was circumventing the cap. I don't think that that's the case with Nazem Kadri, but the Islanders now with Kadri and the rumor that Noah Dobson and Alexei Romanov have deals also done and approved, you know, within like a handshake deal type of thing, but it's in a top drawer of Lou's desk. They'd be pushing close or mostly over the cap. So they may have to make a deal. And we know that Josh Bailey, Beauvillier, Anthony Beauvillier, those type of names have been rumored. So maybe Lou doesn't want to lose his leverage in a possible deal offer. And you mentioned that beforehand that you expect maybe that they would have to clear some cap space, but I think Kadri's got a deal. I think Dobson has a deal. I think Romanov has a deal. I just think the Islanders are playing by their own timeline.
If they do sign him for 7 years, 7.25, which is the latest report that is out there from the fourth period, how would you feel about that deal for the Islanders and for their chances of success moving forward here?
Okay, well, the Islanders need some offense, but I don't think they need to get any older. And that's the thing with the New York Islanders. They're already pretty old. And then you'd add a Nazem Kadri to the mix at 30 for 7 years. I don't think that it helps them in the long term. Would it help them in the short term? Yes. I mean, Nazem Kadri had 87 points last year, almost a 30-goal scorer. He had 28, played a very, very valuable role with the Colorado Avalanche and them winning the Cup. So do I feel that Kadri will help the New York Islanders in the short term? Absolutely. He can slide in the top two lines, be top-line center, second-line center, whichever you want to slot him, but he can definitely get the job done. But by the time he gets to 33, 34, 35, you're paying a guy like Kadri $7 million plus for what I think would be diminishing assets. So short term, it helps. But long term, this is not the answer for the New York Islanders.
Well, he'll be 32 when the season begins. So he's already into that interesting category. So he would be 39 at the end of the deal. But we're only dealing in the here and the now.
Yeah.
How good will the Islanders be this year? Because this affects Buffalo. The Islanders were not a playoff team last year. And if Buffalo is going to continue to rise, whether it is this year or next, where they are in truly the playoff mix and or solidly in the top eight, you have to be fully aware of and realistic about what other teams are doing. Would this not make the Islanders a bona fide top eight team?
I don't know that it makes them a bona fide top eight team. Look, the Islanders have a new coach now. So it's not Barry Trotz in the system. It's a new coach. Dan Lambert coming in. Now he's been around. Dane Lambert, sorry.
Lane.
What's his son's name?
It's not his son.
I thought it was man, I Brad. Am all over Brad Lambert. That's who I was. I thought, I'm all over the place here. Let's reset this. Lane Lambert with the New York Islanders has been in the system and knows the way the Islanders play, but they do need to change their system. They were not a team that scored a ton of goals last year, and their offense really has gotten older. So do they need more from Barzal? Absolutely. Do they need more from Bailey if he's there? Absolutely. There's Kyle Palmieri is a guy that was brought in because Lou believed in him. Well, he's getting older and the production was not there. So there's a lot of players that would need more production. I like their defense. I like their goaltending, but I don't think it makes the Islanders bona fide top eight. I think they're on the limit there. They are wild card and battling for a playoff spot, in my opinion. But I don't think they are a shoe in for being in the top eight in what I think will be a very tough Eastern Conference. Did I redeem myself? Is that better? You stopped listening. Thanks. Yeah. You're doing research as I'm speaking.
Well, yeah. The point is, as I said numerous times last season, from the first week of December on, the Islanders were a playoff team. And as the year progressed, were even more of a playoff team. So they didn't diminish their goaltending. They still have two very, 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 very capable netminders. Everybody, all the older players or the majority of them were career years, and Palmieri did get a lot better as the year went on.
He got going, yes.
So I'm sorry. I don't see how the Islanders wouldn't be a top eight team. I don't. I mean, they had a blip. After two consecutive Final Fours, they had a blip for 2 months that cost them. And now they stand to be, based on bringing in a player at the height of his career offensively, arguably one of the most coveted free agents.
Yep.
I say arguably because here we are in August and it's not done. And presumably, maybe the best thing for the New York Islanders is Matt Barzal being in a contract year.
That could help, but I just look at
how would it not help?
And Barzal, obviously he needs to be one of their leaders with the New York Islanders. And there was time where Barry Trotz had him sitting on the bench and, watching it from the press box and criticizing Barzal for taking bad penalties and not playing them. Like there was definitely what I call a love-hate relationship going on with the Islanders and Matt Barzal over the last couple of years. Maybe with Lane Lambert, that changes. See, correction right here. And also I knew there was a connection with Brad Lambert and Lane, that's uncle and nephew,
right.
Not father and son. But I was in the family tree business, I was fine.
Yeah, you just hit a few branches on the way down. That's
yes, yeah, it's they're close family. But I look at the way that the Eastern Conference is, right? So I think Carolina, again, is going to be a really, really good team. Now, there's news with the Carolina Hurricanes and Matt Pacioretty. We'll talk about it, but I think
say it now.
Okay, Pacioretty's going to miss 6 months, probably out until... Man, this is going to be until All-Star break, February. He's got a torn Achilles tendon that just happened. He will need surgery. So, and that's who's to say he's going to come back in February and be good. Like with these Achilles tendon, you never know. Maybe it's a Kucherov situation. Pacioretty only comes back in the playoffs. So he goes on LTIR all season long. So anyway, Carolina, I still think.
So wait a minute. What you're telling me then is the reason the Islanders deal is not done is because Carolina's going to actually get Kadri, place Pacioretty on long term, and then he'll come back. That's what you're saying, right?
Can you imagine if Lou got played at his own game as that they have a gentleman's agreement with Kadri, but it hasn't been filed with the NHL yet. And now Carolina announces that Max Pacioretty is out 6 months and could be longer. Those Achilles tendon, you don't know. I mean, it's all about rehabbing and getting the strength and these ankles, it could be a long time. So now Carolina turns around and calls Kadri and tries to make a deal which maybe it's 7 times 8 and puts the Islanders and Lou on notice. That would be unbelievable, Duffer. And you've heard it first here in Sabres Live that this could happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point is Carolina, I think, is still good.
They do. Carolina does have, not that they would ever want to, you know, move off of, but, and it's funny because they're actually, they're very similar in age, and Jordan Staal is still playing well. Yes. But, you know, hypothetically, I mean, Jordan makes $6 million and he's a UFA at the end of the year. I would suspect that Jordan will just keep coming back with Carolina on a much lower deal.
Yes.
But boy, they would look pretty loaded come playoff time if they could ever have all of what we just mentioned.
So. Well, I also listened to a Rod Brind'Amour interview on SiriusXM NHL Radio this morning that was from earlier in the season, and where Rod Brind'Amour said, we really like the middle of our ice with Aho, and they think Kotkaniemi was starting to play better in the second half with Jordan Staal as a third line center. And now you got Jack Drury coming through, and who knows, maybe they're feeling that they could still bolster that middle of the ice. I don't think Kadri is going to Carolina, but it would be interesting. But I think Carolina is still going to be a really good team. I think the New York Rangers are going to be a really good team. And all of a sudden, I think Columbus is going to be a really good team. So does that put the New York Islanders behind Pittsburgh and Washington? Do you put them ahead of Pittsburgh or Washington? They're fighting. I don't think they're a top three team in the Metropolitan Division.
I think the Islanders could easily be ahead of those teams that you mentioned. Washington has injury concerns.
Yes.
Despite having a new number one goalie. Pittsburgh, I would not bet against Pittsburgh based on their commitment to their superstar players. I don't love the idea of them moving forward with their advanced age, but I would not expect a drop. I just think it's going to be a ridiculous fight between all these teams. And I expect the Islanders to absolutely be in and out of a position all year among that group of teams that is in the playoff mix. I will say this, like I'm kind of fascinated now that we almost accidentally landed on this topic with Carolina. Obviously we're going to mention Pacioretty and his absence. Like, as we sit here today, the Hurricanes are, you know, already at the cap. Now, yes. Pacioretty is, you know, going to have his $7 million sitting there on long term. Let's move off of the whole Nazem Kadri idea if he doesn't sign with the New York Islanders, like many are expecting him to do. Like, what else and who else might Carolina turn their attention to, presumably on a, hey, we're a really good team. 1 year, we need some help for 4 months. Get in here and we'll figure out the rest. Like, do they get a Phil Kessel?
Phil Kessel, yeah.
Do they get a Paul Stastny, right? Like, Stastny is such a cerebral player, and he's actually coming off of you know, all respect earned here at 36, a very good season for him with Winnipeg at 45 points. There was a lot of talk that maybe he would end up back in Vegas. You know, or do you see someone else that could be a good fit for Carolina? I say this because I just don't think Carolina ever takes anything lying down anymore. They're ever since Dundon took over ownership, like, and not to say that they didn't have good years before that, clearly they did, but they are almost always seemingly all in.
I think they're always seemingly all in. And that's the mentality that they have now in Carolina. Even when they had Alex Nedeljkovic after a really good season, they're like, we want to upgrade. They went and got Freddie Anderson. It's like, wow.
And Antti Raanta.
And fortunately, again, Anderson was not healthy in the playoffs last year. Raanta got banged up. But they are a team that never feels like they're out of a deal. And that's also their mentality, is that they should be in on all of the deals. So when there's a free agent available, they call. Mm-hmm. They see if it works. Mm-hmm. When there's a trade available, they call. They use offer sheets, right, to try to see how they could better themselves. Now, maybe that was a slap back at the Montreal Canadiens, but it brought Jesperi Kotkaniemi to Carolina, and they made that happen. So I think Phil Kessel could be a good fit because, again, Phil Kessel is going to only play, in my opinion, if he feels that it's a team that's going to compete, like he's been rolling around with Arizona and teams that are like not going anywhere. I think it catches up with a Phil Kessel after winning the cup with Pittsburgh and wanting another chance. I could see Carolina being there. I'll throw this name at you. Sonny Milano. And I've said it before, and I think Sonny Milano would be a good fit in Carolina because he was playing with young, skilled, fun players, Trevor Zegras and those guys in Anaheim. I think he goes in with, you know, Sebastian Aho and that crew that, you know, lacrosse goals and the Michigan and all of that. These guys have done in Carolina. But he'd come in at a much cheaper price tag, I would think, that Phil Kessel would. So if Carolina needs to be mindful of that, I think a Sonny Milano could work. Paul Stastny is a very interesting type of player again, but a little bit older. I think Carolina likes to stay maybe younger, fresher legs. Rod Brind'Amour demands a lot of it out of his players. So I think there's a couple of names out there, but if Pacioretty, and I'm not saying if, he is out at least 6 months, I would expect the Carolina Hurricanes to make one more transaction before camp opens.
There's no shortage of players available in the realm of restricted free agents that need to get deals done. Pardon me?
I just rolled my sheet down. Evan Rodriguez.
Yes. Well, so I was actually getting there. Thank you for reading my mind. I was going to say there are no shortage of restricted free agents that are without contracts, high-end guys that still have to get done and presumably will by their respective teams. And while the UFA list is not particularly long, it does have a name that kind of unintentionally fits exactly what we're talking about. I say that because no one could have forecast when Pittsburgh brought in Evan Rodriguez last year that he would beyond adequately replace Evgeny Malkin for the duration of Malkin's absence. So this is exactly what we're talking about with Carolina. How do you fill a 3-4-5 month regular season void? Now, Rodriguez production all but stopped the moment Malkin came back. But at the very least, it has to make you consider as a general manager, here's a guy in the right situation who might be able to produce with our club exactly the way he did with Pittsburgh last year. It's interesting at the very least, and it's a new wrinkle on Evan Rodriguez's resume that did not exist before.
Yeah, and obviously this, I'm not saying it's as temporary as Evgeny Malkin was, but it could be longer term. So Evan Rodriguez could do it. And he was really good with Pittsburgh last year. And you're right. When they asked of him to play a big role, he stepped into it. Could he do this?
One more point.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was the ultimate failure last year for Carolina?
The power play.
In the playoffs, from March on, disastrous, right?
They 0-4 in the playoffs.
Pacioretty would have helped that.
Oh yeah,
Evan Rodriguez absolutely soared getting those types of minutes last year with Pittsburgh. Again, every situation can be a little different, but when you're taking a bigger look, you can go, I could maybe see this happening here. So anyway,
I could also see like a guy that just signed a 2-year deal, Marty Natchez, right? Moving on up in the lineup and say, okay, well, we have what we have internally. We just gave Natchez 2 years, $3 million per, like, let's put him up. Like it's not a contract year where we're worried that he'd only get the production because he's there. Let's give him a chance. So I think that internal factor could play into, but
for sure.
The mentality in Carolina, in my opinion, has always been, let's go see what's out there. Mm-hmm. And they are going to kick tires as we've done a lot this summer.
Fabian Zetterlund's got his new deal with the Devils. Obviously, this is a kid that was drafted in 2017 and has been looking to carve out time. He was very good with Utica last year. Obviously, the Amerks saw him a ton. He had 8 points in limited duty with the Devils last year in 14 games. So the hopes are still pretty high for this player. Yep. He gets a very minimalistic deal at $750 for a year. Recent draft pick, class of 2022, first round, Kevin Korchinski has signed with the Blackhawks. Jake Walman gets a 1-year deal worth $1.05. The only reason that that's of great significance is that it avoided an arbitration hearing for Walman and the Red Wings and closes arbitration season completely. So Yakov Trenin stands alone as the only man since Dylan Larkin in 2020 to have gone through the arbitration process. And I think we all know how we have discussed Yakov Trenin and his position
and
now.
He's the first player in forever to have an extension being awarded to the arbitrator so that the award was given out like 4 days later as opposed to 48 hours later. Quick make of Jake Walman. People are going to say whatever, but he was asking for a one-way deal. The team was offering two-way. He got a one-way deal at $1 million. Fabian Zetterlund is on a two-way deal, though, $750 over $125, which is... Like, look, the reason why I'm pointing out one way compared to two ways, depending on players, is the Sabres still have one guy on sign, really moving forward, and that's Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. And so what is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen looking for? And I'm sure that he asked at first for a one-way deal, saying, I want one-way money, but I don't think that's going to be there. So how does that move forward, transitioning from asking for a one-way, maybe going to a two-way, maybe some guaranteed money? There's a lot that can play in between those two.
What, take us deeper into this. Obviously, it's out there at Sabres Live on Twitter as far as what we expect, or what you expect Luukkonen's next deal to look like. What? Why? I mean, is it as simple as just because he can, you know, that they'll make it a two-way deal here?
It's not just because he can, or I would think if I am looking to sign Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, number one, we don't really know if he is an NHL goaltender yet. So I think you're given your option, the two-way options of saying you are in our mind and here's $750 in the NHL, which is the minimum, but let's look at, given you may be $250 in the American League, maybe a $400 guaranteed, meaning that if you come up to Buffalo a few times during the year, you make more money. If at the end of the year, you only made $350 and you were guaranteed $400, well, you get an extra $50,000 in a check. So that's what the guaranteed part is sometimes with players that are on the bubble. You give them the two-way deal with some money guaranteed, and that may sweeten up the deal. Now, maybe it's on a one-year deal and you're giving Luukkonen the chance to prove it. If you get a chance to play at the NHL level, are you an NHL goalie? Or you do what a goaltender like Connor Ingram did with the Nashville Predators. And this was after Connor Ingram had not played in the NHL. He signed a three-year deal, but the first 2 years were two-way and the third year was a one-way deal. So I remember when I was with the Rangers, Cam Talbot signed a two-year deal with the Rangers. First year was a two-way deal, which was supposed to be my last season in the NHL. And then he was going to be on the one-way the year after. I kind of saw the writing on the wall saying, well, this is going to be my last year in New York for me because they gave this guy a one-way deal starting next year. So if you believe in Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to be an NHL goalie, maybe not this season, but in 2 years from now, you can maybe sweeten the deal and saying, look, we'll give you a two-year. First year is two-way. Second year is one-way. So maybe this year is $750 over $200. And then next year is $750 one-way deal. So there's a lot of flexibility here. Obviously, we don't know what Luukkonen and his camp want. So that's his... probably going to set the bar a little bit from where the Sabres are at, but there's a lot of flexibility as to what you can do with Luukkonen.
Wouldn't you just want to do the same deal that Daniil Tarasov got from Columbus? Like, I don't think you're going to find a better comp right now.
There's not.
They were both drafted in 2017. They both had very limited NHL time. And Tarasov's got veterans ahead of him, but those contracts will expire in the case of Korpisalo, obviously. And Columbus took Tarasov on for a three-year deal here. The cap hit is $1.05 million. Tarasov will make $750 in the AHL this year, presuming he spends some time there. And then in the final 2 years of the deal, he'll get 1.05 in the minors, 1.35 in the minors if he ends up down there. What do you think of this?
I don't like that deal at all. At all, Duffer.
For Buffalo?
I don't like that. Well, I'm just saying for UPL, giving him a three-year deal, all one-way money at $1 million average over the next 3 years, I don't think that's a good deal for Tarasov.
He's been around for 4 years. He hasn't even made $1 million in career earnings yet. Why wouldn't a player want that?
Well, the player would definitely want that. I don't like that for Buffalo.
Why would the team not want that? It gives you absolute security. And if he happens to steal the reins this year, you've got him for 2 more years at a bargain.
Okay. Well, number one, I don't think Luukkonen would steal the reins. I don't see that happening. And if he does, then
we'll give him $2 million
or $2.5 million to play and be a transitioning number one goaltender. My issue is that you would commit to a Luukkonen like goaltender that you commit to 3 years. I've scratched and clawed at everything. I don't know what they have in Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I really don't. He had some really good times. He's had some struggles at both the NHL and the AHL level. So I don't really know what you've got. I think that even the Tarasov deal with the Columbus Blue Jackets, I don't think it's a good deal for them. Like, and it's just talking to a guy that comes off of hip surgery too. They gave him way too much, in my opinion. They didn't have to go that far with
Tarasov. Every goalie does hip surgery. Linus Allmark, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
They all do. I just don't think Columbus had to make that deal happen with their goaltender.
But they're not committing. After giving Merzlikins long term, they're giving Korpisalo one last chance to give himself the opportunity to play well for Columbus and extend his career elsewhere and thus secure their backup position moving forward behind Merzlikins. I think it's a brilliant deal.
I think it's a brilliant deal for the player. He's getting over $3 million for the next 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Great for the player. I think you can find $1 million backup pretty much anywhere right now. And you're giving a unproven guy who's only played 4 NHL games. And we're talking about Tarasov right now with Columbus, Tarasov, $1 million guaranteed to be a backup. So on average, $750, $1 million and $1.3 million. So you know, around there. So I really don't like that deal for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. And I would not, if I was Kevin Adams and the Buffalo Sabres, would definitely not want to go anywhere close to that.
Oh, I'm baffled. Like, you know, Craig Anderson's not coming back.
Yeah.
So at worst, you have Luukkonen for $1 million in Rochester. Not even, because like Tarasov, the first year would have a little less in the AHL.
And newly baptized Eric Cormier from me on the show yesterday, Eric Comrie, but I'm going to keep calling him Cormier.
Right, but so what would be wrong with Comrie and Luukkonen the following year? You're unveiling to me right now, as you can tell by my reaction, a great unknown feeling on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen that I didn't believe existed in you before. So I thought you were more on the optimism side as opposed to the unknowing side. So
I'm definitely on the unknowing side. And
hold that thought because we're way late for break, right? So
we are Howard Simon with the late to the break show. Here we go. His ears must be ringing right now. I don't think he was in this morning. I think he may have taken the day off. So he's going to hear it from us. There you go.
Okay. Well, quick timeout. Back with more. You never know where this show is going, but there's still plenty of news to get to on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.